Self-introduce. I'll introduce myself. Thanks. So good morning, everyone. My name is Rian. I am my wife, Helen, and our three girls are running around here somewhere. It's such a joy and a privilege for us to be here. And we're joined by a whole group of Edgemedians. We've got a name. Someone called us the Edgemites. We're not with Edgemedians, so just putting it out there. And it's really a pleasure for us to be here. And I think for the Montague congregation, you guys have really received us very well. And it's been just an awesome time. We miss Annie. I know you guys do too. I know Annie for a very long time. She had a big role in my life. And so it's like to see where she's hanging out. And then welcome to all the other Josh Jen congregations, Gunther and them. Hello, Gunther. I like it to see you. And Ramonius from Swellendam. We also know him for a very long time. And it's obviously a little Gwen. Hello, Gwen from Melkbos. It's amazing to be part of such a big family and to know that we're actually connections, that the Lord's heart for us is to know one another deeply and to build relationship. And so these times of visiting with one another are always opportunities actually that probably speak deeper into our lives than sometimes even the preaching does. Because we see that lives that are being lived out for the kingdom in everyday moments, when you're making food and the kids are not listening and like getting into one another's houses. And yeah, not that I need to reiterate anything that Claude has said, but I want to encourage you that if you have a chance and an option to get to Swellendam or to come to the gathering, take it, because those moments are key moments that we get to live and connect with people and realize, hey, God is doing something special in us as a people. Amen. So, this morning, I want to ask you, kind of start off with a question. And I want to ask, like, how much do you really think about heaven? Like, I know we're going to heaven, and I know we know it, at least some of us do, but have you ever given a lot of thought of heaven? Like, what it's going to be like? What are we going to do there? Scripture has got some kind of like ideas, but it's a big, it's something that's going to be discovered, you know? And for me, I often think about, Lord, what's heaven going to be like? Because this relationship we have with God is a living relationship. It is a relationship where we get to know Him, where we get to know His heart, and He's a person. He's not a principle or a power, but He's a person. He's a Father. And that means that there's relationship that is available for us. And I'm going like, hey, God, what is it going to be like, Dad? What is it? Well, in some sense, what is the house looking like on that side? I know what it looks like here, but what does it look like there? And I think, just in speaking to people, a lot of people think of hell as heaven as not hell. And so heaven is that place where we go because we don't want to go to hell. Amen? And so we know what hell is. Hell's going to be a place of a gnashing of teeth and fire and eternal damnation and darkness, and it gets hectic. And we just know it's so hectic, I don't want to be there. I want to go to heaven. But more than that, we don't really give heaven actually quite a lot of thought. It will come. That's how we think. But Jesus said this. He said in John 14, He says that my Father, I'm going to go to my Father, and He is, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. You can keep it up there. But just a little bit before that, He speaks about heaven, and He speaks about, like, I'm going to my Father, and He is preparing, and with Him, I'm preparing a room for you in His house. And that there's a lot of space. There's space for you. And in some sense, that's all that we know. But then we get into this, John 14, verse 3, where I believe like heaven is captured in this moment. It says this, when everything is ready, when the room is ready, when the house is ready, when all of creation is ready for the moment, I will come and get you. Because we are His children. We are His prized possession. He loves us. He wants us with Him. And then He says this, so that you will always be with me where I am. And in some sense, regardless of hell and what hell looks like, what heaven is, it's captured in that moment. So that where I am, there you will be with me. And I believe for us as believers, it is important to think about that. It's important that the way that we live and the way that we read Scripture, that it doesn't become this do's and don'ts of not getting to hell. But that we realize what we've been given is we've been given a father and a love letter in some sense from a father whose heart is that we would be with him. And that when we read Scripture, when we give ourselves to Scripture, when we come into church, which is His family, it's His body, it's what we've been made part of, that the thing that reverberates in everything that we do is the fact that we are His, that He wants to be with us, and He wants us with Him. It's not about looking a certain way or not looking a certain way. No, it's actually about He wants us with Him. Emmanuel, God with us. And He's done everything He can to make sure that the way is there for us. Amen? John 14 goes on. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And that unless you come to Him, you cannot be part of that. Because He is the one that opens up that place for us where we get to be in Him and with Him. And that's what a lot of our Christian life actually here on earth is about. There's other things, and hopefully we're going to touch on those things. But it's important for me that this morning, as we start, that we stand on this place, and the place that we move from and that we hear even this morning from, is that God wants to be with us. And He wants us with Him. That's the point of everything. He wants us with Him. And He's made that way. We have tried through the ages to work our way into the place of immortality and being able to be like God, because God has put eternity in the hearts of men. And so there's something, whether you know Jesus or not, that is, you know that there is something more. But God came and He gave Jesus so that we can be with Him. And so this morning, as we step into this, I want to say this to us. That God is not dead. I'm saying something that you know and that you've heard, and what I'm going to say to you today is not something new. It's not something intellectual. It's plain and simple. I'm a plain and simple kind of guy. God is not dead. Do we know this? Do we live this? Do we breathe this? And as much as He's not dead, He wants to be with you and me. And He wants you and me with Him. And now we know this. I can see it. You go like, okay, Jan, what's next? But I want you just for a moment to think about that. Whatever your life looks like right now, how close, how far you are to the Lord, I want to say to you right now, He wants to be with you. And He wants you to be with Him. So maybe for a moment, there we are. Can I ask you just to close your eyes? God is not a principle. He's not a set of rules. He is a father. He's not like a father. He is a father. And he loves you. And he wants to be with you. And he wants you to be with him. So there where you are this morning, can I ask for a moment that you actually say, Father, I really want to be with you. Because that's what's going on in his heart. See, God is bursting with life. And he wants to pour everything that he is into you and into me. Because we are his children. His prized possessions. And he wants you and me to know that there's room. There's room in his house for you. And he doesn't measure out like the bank. He comes and he gives abundantly of himself. Because what he has is more than enough. He's the God of abundance. And this is not a prosperity gospel, so don't worry. But he is abundant in everything that he does. Abundant in life. Abundant in love. Abundant in grace. Abundant in mercy. Abundant in forgiveness. Abundant in accepting and restoring us to who he actually had and wanted for us from the very beginning. He's abundant. And he wants you and me to live in that place of abundance. But that abundance is found in him. Heaven is to be with him. It's not a place that's just not hell, or not pain, or not crying, or not sickness. No, it is a place where he is. And that's what he wants for you and me. Can open up your eyes before you fall asleep. Okay. So, this morning, the title of my preach is Good Soil. And I'm going to kind of pivot a little bit from where we are right now. And I'm going to read fast out of Matthew 13, verse 3 to 9. And it's a story that you probably know quite well and that you've heard many times, which is 100% okay. This was Jesus' first real parable that he spoke to the believers and to the disciples. And so verse 3 says, he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. And as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with the underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. In those last few verses, can you see something there? Abundance. 30, 60, even 100 times more than what was sowed for that to come up. Now, I know there's a lot of farmers here in this area. You know it doesn't work like that. It's like what you put in the ground is what comes up. Not in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom. No, in the kingdom it works a little bit differently. Because our God is the God of everything. And His heart and who He is, His nature, His character is abundance. And so when He finds good soil, we see abundance that comes out. Because it carries His nature. It carries the culture that is God. Amen? So let's look at this scripture. So a couple of things to look at. First of all, the farmer. You can take it off. The farmer, who's the farmer? It's Jesus. Okay? Secondly, the seeds. What are the seeds? It's the Word of God to us. Okay? I like interactions. I don't feel like you've got to be quiet and sit still. The birds that came and took the seeds. That's the enemy. The enemy that comes and steals what God has given to us. But then, very importantly, and it's actually what we're dealing with here this morning, the soil. And what is the soil? The soil is you and me. It's our hearts and, I believe, our minds. And many times I've heard the scripture being talked about, and a lot of the times we quickly, it's one of those verses that you kind of know in the back of your mind, and people quickly throw them out and remember the good soil, you know, be the good soil. But we kind of, or what you give, make sure you sow it into good soil. It's oftentimes more used in the terms of what we're doing instead of who we are. And a little bit later on in the scripture, Jesus actually says to the disciples, hey, in case you didn't understand, this is what this scripture is all about. This is what this parable is all about. So everything that I'm saying to you this morning, in some sense, I don't need to say to you. You can just go read it. But I'm going to say it to you in any way, okay? Because I believe that's what God asked us to do, okay? So, the scripture speaks actually about the soil of our hearts. The condition of how we, what our hearts are like, but also actually how we are receiving when the word comes to us. And I want us to look at the different types of soil here this morning, because I believe there's something of a key for us in living out this life that we need to live here on earth. Because yes, heaven is one day. It's not yet today. And that's oftentimes why we don't think of it. But I believe that as we think of it and dream of it, it actually makes the here and now, it influences the here and now. So that when we get into the Word, that we can make sure that, man, that we are cultivating and working good soil into our hearts. Because the promise of what God has given to us is a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold more than what has been given. Amen? So, let's look at the first soil. The footpath. Now, that makes 100% sense. The footpath is kind of like, you can think, this guy is, I've tried to sow some seed in my garden, some grass. In Cape Town, grass doesn't grow as well as it grows here. We've got a lot of sea sand. But there's a path that some of the seed falls onto. And the path has been so hardened that the birds come, the enemy, in this, and it picks the seeds up, which makes 100% sense, because birds also need to eat. Amen? But have you ever thought of this? The footpath is some of the soil that has seen the most of the farmer. Just think about that. Because the farmer is walking up and down with seed. And how many times can that not actually be our hearts? We're in church, in community, have my Bible sticky, do this, do that, Facebook, all the things of God. Like we're busy with God. But yet the Word comes to us. And our hearts have been walked. We've become so familiar with God and His Word and the things of God that as the seed comes, the ground is hard. Doesn't penetrate. Doesn't go in. what ends up happening is the enemy comes in, snatches the seed, and we don't get to benefit from what was being given. We don't get to live in that fruitfulness, the fruit that needs to come from the seed. So there we are at this morning. Have you wondered, in hearing this, how much seed has been sown into your heart that has been stolen because of familiarity? Because of, I know this, man. It's so easy. Because who we are, we're a people that have so much information available to us. And these days, you don't even need to think for yourself anymore. You can just Google AI, and they tell you everything that you need to know about everything from everywhere. There's no process of having to work it out and discover. And so we can become filled up with all this information and all this knowledge. Yet our ground is rock hard. Because the seed falls and there's no capacity to understand. And that's what Jesus said in that scripture. To those who have an ear to hear, let them hear and understand. So we're hearing things, and the preachers go in, and it goes out, and it's a YouTube, and it's a... But at the end of the day, understanding has not been able to sink into our hearts. And that same thing that you've been struggling with, or fear, or doubt, or sin, it doesn't get uprooted and taken out. It's still there. It's like, I know... But nothing changes. See, the enemy is always going to come. And he wants to steal what is meant to bring life. And that is the word of God to us. The word of God is given to us so that it can be seed that is planted. So it can be seed that is harvested. Seed that produces a harvest 60, 30, 100 times fold. That is the purposes of the Word of God in our lives, is that it would become fruitful. Not that we would just know it and not change. Because this walk that we're walking is actually a place of where we said to Jesus, Jesus, here's my life. We said, I give you my life. It's now yours. And the life I live right now is what? It's in Christ. It's His. To live is Christ, like Paul says. Amen? And the life that I live now, I live to know Him, to become like Him, to be formed into His likeness. So it's meant to work in us. And the enemy doesn't want us to change. That's what he wants to keep us. Do you know how long I've been saved? Do you know how many courses I've done? I'm a young guy. I don't feel young. I'm almost 40 this year. Well, a few months or weeks from now. Not months. There's not months left. I'm turning 40. And I've known the Lord for a while. Like going on 24 years that I've walked with the Lord. And man, even this morning when we were praying, I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to come into this place thinking that I know what it is that you want to come and do. Because the moment I'm going to come in like that, that's the moment I become familiar with who you are. And even though I can spend all my life studying the word Greek, Hebrew, like doing all the things, seeing thousands of people getting saved. I want to say, if we can see and minister and see the whole of the earth in front of us getting saved, you can think, okay, now I've seen enough about God. I say, you do not have an idea of how big God is. And so not for one moment do I want to allow my heart to ever become a footpath. It's like, Lord, I'll rather humble myself as if I don't know anything. Because then at least the soil is workable. The seed can at very least go in. I don't know how deep the seed is going to come in, but it can at least go in. Then we'll work and we'll get into that just now. But that's the posture. And so if that's a question in your heart, even as I'm speaking, you're going, oh, I've heard this preach so many times. I can read it. It sounds better reading it, Leon, than listening to you. I want to encourage you. Humble yourself before the Lord. The rocky soil. With the rocky soil, it says that the seed fell, and as it fell, it sprouted quickly. But then it soon wilted because the seed didn't go deep. Because there was a thin layer of soil, but underneath that, there was bedrock. And the seed couldn't penetrate in that. You know what that looks like for us? Go to a conference, go to a camp, go to a... The word is being preached, even on a Sunday morning. We have an amazing time in worship. Oh, God is amazing! And you're in the moment. But Monday morning comes, and it's your life. Sunday is a blur. Conference or whatever has been done, it's no longer being attended to. That seed, that ground, the ground is not being worked. And so even in Scripture, we see that actually the seed comes and there's a joy in receiving it. But that joy needs to translate into understanding of where we actually then say, okay, now the seed has come. Let me work the ground. Let me take out. Let me make sure that the ground is deep so that the seed can go deep roots. But oftentimes the difficulty and just even our own lives stops it from going any further. And I've said it before now, but in our day and age, there's so many preachers, so many videos, so much information out there for us that you don't have to think or feel or discover for yourself anything, because you can just type it in and there it is. And it causes us to be a people that actually we've got a shallow soil where the seed falls and there's joy, there's like that kind of goosebumps in the moment. And it's an amazing feeling. Oh, God is so good. I mean, I loved this morning, the worship. Like, I know you guys, I'm sure you love your hall, but man, I love this hall. It feels like my voice sounds so much nicer singing in this hall. I'm like, I'm willing to come here and just come and worship here. But it's like these moments, and there's joy in it. But we don't take it further. Monday morning when difficulty comes, that song of you are good is no longer you are good. It's like, oh Lord, why have you forsaken me? It's like we don't allow the seed to go further, to go deep. In Ephesians 4, it's not on there, but Jesus, the word that Paul gives to us in, I think it's 4:11 or 4:16, 4:17, it says that what has been given to us, that it would mature in us. That the knowledge of Christ, what He has done, what He is doing, what He wants to do, that that knowledge would mature and come into full stature. That it would come into a full standard of who Jesus is and what He has done. And so the heart of God for us, that when the seed comes, is not that it would just have a quick sprout and then die. No, God's heart is that our soil is deep, that there's no rocks, there's nothing stopping the seed from going deep so that it can come into maturity. I know Christians, and I'm actually speaking even about myself, that there was a time in my life that I was okay just to know a lot of things about God, about Scripture, and know how to do everything, but there was actually no depth in it. There was no depth in it. I wouldn't allow it. When something is difficult, okay, wait. This can't be God. No, God just wants me to have a good time. Hebrews, Romans 5, I'm not confused. It speaks, says, in this life you'll have many trials and tribulations. Romans 5. It's to persevere. And as perseverance is made perfect, character is being formed. And as character is being formed, a hope is being built. And then it says, this hope cannot be disappointed. Because God's heart for us is that we would mature in Him. Mature in our understanding. Mature in our knowledge. Mature in our walking. And that's actually so freeing. Because it means that I don't need to come to God and be perfect. No, I'm under construction. He's going like, I'm always under construction. I'm under construction. And that's the process of maturity. I'm maturing. I'm growing. But I need to make sure that I don't stop the construction. And that's what we see here. There's that immediate joy, but then the seed goes and it dies. God's heart for us is that we become mature in Him. James 1, verse 22 says this. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, forget what you look like. Maturity. God wants us to mature. And it actually brings us to the next soil, the thorny soil. It said this, that the seeds would go and the seeds started growing. But in and amongst the seeds, there was thorns. And the thorns actually ended up suffocating and taking out the nutrients of what was happening, and it caused the good seed to actually wilt away and die, steal from what it was. I see for many of us, and we're going to look at this, is that the kingdom is one part of our lives. And there's a little carpet here. And then the world is another part of our lives. And we're always trying to come in between these two worlds. And that's what we read about here. We read about soil that has got thorns and things that actually suffocates the good seed, the kingdom. Now, if you think of your own life, what does it look like? In your desires, in your thoughts. That question of how much do you think about heaven? I want to say to you, and it's not to condemn you, but probably if our thoughts is consumed with, man, I need to make sure that I provide for my family and save enough money, get that promotion, get that car, or maybe get that house, or that school, or this thing. Those things tend to consume our minds and our hearts. And what it actually does is, it suffocates the thoughts. God, what's heaven going to be like? God, what is your kingdom about? God, what is that you want to do? It suffocates those thoughts, even those just everyday random thoughts out of our minds and out of our hearts. See, God wants us to dream about his kingdom. He wants us to dream about it. Paul says, man, I long to be with you. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Because he knew, man, God, I'm just here for a moment, but there with you, that is where I want to be. And so if we look at ourselves in this, we've got to ask ourselves, like, what is the capacity in us to consider and dream about and think about the kingdom? Or is our thoughts, our soil, our hearts, our desires, and our thoughts, is it taken up by the cares of this world? Because I know for me sometimes, I've got to make a decision to say, I'm not going to think about these things. And I want to read us a scripture here, and it's not there, but it's in Luke 12. And you can turn in your Bibles, and I want to encourage you to go read Luke 12. And it's the story of where Jesus speaks, and he says to his disciples to first seek basically the kingdom of God. And we always read out of Matthew 6, and, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. But here in Luke 12, it just says something about the heart of God in this, so much more beautiful. It says this, Luke 12 verse 29 says, "And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world." Would you agree with that? You see that in the business world. You see that everywhere. You see the thought of taking care of me and taking care of my home and my little piece of ground and my family. It's the thing that dominates everything that people do. And they'll lie, steal, kill, destroy everything just to make sure that this piece that is mine comes to me. It dominates their thoughts. But before I go on, I want you to think about this. If God is our creator, I know we know it, but do we think about it? That he's the one that made us, that formed us, understands everything about us. He knows exactly how this appliance works. He knows the mechanics of it, the thing that powers it. He knows everything about it. And this is what we hear when it carries on. It says, "These things dominate the thoughts of all of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father knows your needs." Why? Because he created us. He is our Father. He's the one that knows us. He's the one that loves us. He intimately is aware of who we are and what we're about. And so when he says, don't worry about what you eat and what you're going to drink, he's not saying it from a place of like, look, you need to suffer and you need to suck on dry sand and just, no. He's actually saying, I'm your Father. I know what you need. I know exactly what it is. It's like driving here. My kids, 5 minutes on the road. Are we there yet? It's like their minds are so, I love them, but so small and short-sighted. And it's okay because Lock Alley, my youngest one, she's 5 years old. I can't expect her to think in terms of 2 hours of getting to Montague. So every 5 minutes, are we there yet? Like, is it close? Can I eat something more? Is there... And in the same way, if we think of us and God, we are the five-year-old. God, I need something to drink. God, I need something to eat. God, you don't understand. It's like them saying, are we there yet? And he's driving the car. He's like, hey, don't worry. Just take it easy. We'll get there. Don't worry, I've got it. Because your Father knows your needs. And then he says this, verse 31. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Why? This is why. And hear this, verse 32 it says, so don't be afraid, little flock. I love it. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you his kingdom. So seek it. So if you think of the soil and the thorns that are wringing out the life and stealing the life from the good seed, you realize that actually us, in the way that we think, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where am I going to? Security, future. That's how we think. And those things ring out. It suffocates the desire and the faith inside of us to say, God, we need your kingdom. God, we need to see people get saved. God, what do you want to do? Instead, our prayer is, God, I want to eat. God, I want to be safe. God, I want to be healthy. And God goes, man, you're asking me all the things that I know that you need. Actually, my happiness, my joy, the thing is, I've got this whole kingdom that I want to give you. Because you are my son, you are my child, you are my daughter. I want to see you walk in my kingdom. I want to see you come alive in these things. It suffocates the seed. It's hectic. I'm not speaking to you. I'm saying to us. Because that's in my heart. So my question that I asked you in the beginning. What is heaven for you? Is it just not hell? Or is it actually that heaven is to be with him? We can walk with him. We can come to know him. And we can see his kingdom come into our world. And actually see that as this morning as we sang, you are good. That it actually becomes not just a thing that we see, sing in a moment, that feels good in a moment, but it's actually the very thing that we see being walked out. As we walk, we see he provides his kingdom. And in providing his kingdom, we never have lack. He looks after us. God has got so much for us, if only we would risk it with him. If only we would actually believe him. So let's finish here. Ephesians 4, verse 14 to 16. Then we will no longer be immature, be like children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. God's heart for us, abundance, maturity, growth. And it brings us to the good soil. Look here. The good soil is what God wants for us. The good soil is where the seed comes and it falls. It's being worked in. It's being watered. That seed is being, the soil is being, make sure that when weeds come up, that it's being taken out. If there's rocks, we take the rocks out to make sure the ground is loose and ready for the seed. And what happens with the seed eventually is as it shoots roots, it goes deep. And a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold, more than what was sown into it, becomes the harvest. And the beauty of that is, when we read Ephesians 4 there, we see that it's not just, it can't just be Claude or Gary or Jono or anyone else, Annie. It can't just be them that's tending the garden. It's actually each and every one of us have soil. And as we work that soil, it also produces growth in those around us. It says, as the whole body is joined together, as each part does its bit, the whole body comes into health, into growth. And it actually becomes part of the harvest. It's as I'm giving God space in my life, people get to look at that and realize, wow, if God can do it for him, he can do it for me. I want to challenge you. Go ask Annie who I was when I got to Bible school, when I met her. We were speaking about the story last night. I wasn't even saved. And people like Annie, they've seen a life of someone that had no future in God, that was confused, that was not even saved, come into salvation, and God taking my life and putting me here today, where I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be leading a congregation or be an elder. It's like, we don't know where this is going to end. You don't know where your life is going to end. And you can either give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't just want to be a hearer. I want to be a doer. So God, help me to tend to my soil. Because your word is coming. The farmer is sowing. That's his job. My job is to make sure that the soil is ready. The soil is open. The soil is good for the seed to come and fall. And this is the heart of God, is that to anyone who has ears, let them hear and understand. To anyone. So it's a select few. Now all of us here are called to be good soil. But it takes work. It takes time. It takes commitment. Not for the church, not for Claude or the elders. It's not that kind of commitment. No, it's an understanding that Jesus, you are truly real. That heaven is to be with you. And I want to be with you. And therefore, God, take my life. Take whatever you want, God. Of this life, I give it up. Because to be with you is eternal life. Amen? Can we pray? Maybe just before we pray, and I want you to keep your eyes closed, but I do believe that this morning, throughout the whole service, that there's been an invitation from God to each and every one of us. And that invitation is into a relationship with a person, Jesus. And you might find yourself this morning in a place where you feel potentially lost, potentially like, I don't know where, what's the way forward, what to do. But I want to say here this morning to you that there's an invitation for you to come back to your original purpose, which is to be a son in His house, to be part of His kingdom, because you are His. And the price has been paid for your life and for mine. And so this morning, if you've never given yourself to Jesus, and maybe there's something of a realization this morning in your heart, that actually, I don't know what heaven is. Don't know what it's about. I want to give you an invitation this morning to accept the salvation that has been given and been paid for you and me. And it's been freely given. Not one of us have done anything to receive salvation. It's something that Jesus gave. Like Jono said this morning, the Father gave His Son. Jesus gave His life for you and me to be part of Him. And if that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to bring your life to Him and say, God, here is my life. I want to know You. I want to know You. And so if that's you this morning, can I ask for a moment? I just said, you be bold. And just put your hand up for me, just so that I can see, because I would love to pray with you. But then there might even be some of us here that have been like the footpath. We've known God, walked with Him, been in all the preachings and the things, but actually our lives have become so hard that as the word comes, the seed gets stolen. And the seed never gets to penetrate our hearts. And this morning maybe you've heard something, or there's some sense in your heart of the Holy Spirit coming to trying to break the ground and toil it, so that the footpath can no longer be a footpath, but soil that is workable. And this morning, I want to say to you that there's even an invitation to you to say, come to me, and I will make new, I will redeem, I will restore you back to me. And if that's you here this morning, can I ask just that you stand with me? So, Lord, I want to come back to you. Thank you, Lord. And so, for the rest of us, it's so easy to find ourselves in a place of where we are overcome by the worries and the needs of this life. And we focus on those things. But can I ask us this morning, can we come again to Him and say, God, would You come and break into my thoughts? Would You come and break into my heart, into my desires, God? Would You open up my eyes to Your kingdom? Because I don't want to be a thorny or a rocky soil, God. I want to be good soil so that Your word can come and produce a harvest in my heart and in my life. And if you're there with me, can I ask that you join me in just standing and saying, Lord, here is my life. I want You to come and work in it. God, this morning, we don't want to come as those that assume that we know who You are or how You work or what it is You want to do. But God, we want to be those that are humble. So we come this morning, God, and we humble ourselves before You. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have come to breathe life into us, that you've come to sow seed into our hearts that will produce a 30, 60, 100-fold harvest in our lives. And so we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We thank you for your seed that you so generously sow into our lives. We pray, Father, that as those that are standing and responding this morning, I pray, Lord, that you will come, and I'm confident of this, that you come and you produce in us what is needed. You give us what we need in order to be faithful in you. And so we thank you for this, God. I thank you for this, God. We thank you for the life that you have given to us, God, to live here on earth. Like Paul said, to live is Christ. So we thank you for this, Jesus. Would you come and work in us?